You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down
open
to
your action. Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome to week one of Inside Ben Davis Football for the 2020 season. I'm your host, Zion Brown, joined by WBDG General Manager John Easter and Ben Davis Giants Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. So, Coach Simmons, you and I had talked in April about how much more difficult things were back then in the spring due to some COVID-19 restrictions. And so how have things gotten simpler or maybe more difficult once you have actually gotten to be with your team in person over the last month?
You know, I think for us in some ways, you know, when you talk about simplifying things, it's just been trying to get back and establish any known routine that we had. And we're certainly closer to that now, you know, getting into week seven here since we've been back together, week one of the regular season. You know, we feel like we're in stride. You know, our guys have an understanding of what practice is going to look like, of how they're going to get coached, of what we're going to ask them to do. We got the rust knocked off. I feel like our guys are in that routine really well. When you talk about, you know, things that are different, you know, that list continues to change and evolve every day. And, you know, so much of what's different is, you know, the screening process prior to, you know, kids even getting into the locker room, not having full capacity in the locker room. You can name it. We're spraying equipment down after practice, whether it's on-field equipment, whether it's helmets and shoulder pads. The limitations that have come with the protocol, whether it's 50% capacity, you know, there's all kinds of little nuanced things that you certainly have to have a plan for as we go from day to day.
It's almost become a cliche for people to say these are unprecedented times. Well, it's quite true because the last time anybody experienced like this, none of us were here. I mean, it was the pandemic of 1918, and while football was around, it was in its infancy. You know, you have some photos of people in stands wearing masks and things like that. So here we are 102 years later going through this. As a football coach, since you've never been through anything like this, this has to leave you with some anxieties leading into the season. So what's kind of been on your mind in that realm, some anxieties that you have?
Yeah, you know, I think when all this started back in March, and I think our anxieties have kind of ebbed and flowed. But, you know, the priority number one for us and our coaching staff has always been the health, the well-being of our players, whether it's the mental well-being that we tried to navigate in March, April, May, and June, whether it's their physical well-being that we started navigating in addition to the mental and when we got them back in the month of July. We knew they weren't going to be in great shape. You know, we had just gone 14 weeks without them. And so we wanted to make sure that our primary focus was, one, their health and safety. Two, was to raise their basement. You know, we had an idea about where our ceiling could end up being. We were a long way away from that. But we felt like we could get them back progressively and raise their basement up and just make sure that their baseline level of conditionings were right. We had to make sure their mental health and safety was stable, make sure things at home were right for them. And then we could start to talk football. And for us, it took us a little bit to get into football, quite honestly. You know, we really, with the help of Coach Vanderbush and our coaching staff, we really concentrated on the conditioning piece when we came back. We started to reintegrate some football stuff slowly into it, and it wasn't until the last week of July that we put helmets on. And I know some people went, you know, helmets and shoulder pads as soon as we could on July 20th. We were not one of those teams, and I just felt like our guys weren't ready at that point. And so we tried to be really intentional about how we – addressed them. And we weren't going to let anybody else dictate our schedule. I mean, it was ours. We felt like it was in our best interest. And you know, I and the other piece of our program that concerns me is our coaching staff and the other stakeholders that have hands on our kids day in and day out. Whether it's our managers that run the scoreboard clock, that run the microphone, that run the music, that video practice, whether it's it's Coach Hardesty doing our equipment, it's our athletic training staff. All of those stakeholders were vitally important to my thought process, and that includes our coaching staff. You know, when our coaching staff leaves practice at the end of the night, they go home to 30 kids under the age of 18. And so, you know, what not only our coaching staff, but also their families, our players and their families. And so we have tried to be really diligent about protocols, about what people's practices, just to ensure the health and safety of our kids, to do everything we can to have a football season, and also then protect all of those stakeholders, whether they're there in person every day or somebody in our program goes home to them. And that, you know, we make decisions based on those things right there day in and day out.
Coach, how much detail have you and the rest of the coaching staff, I saw some pictures from the scrimmage, how much detail have you guys put into making the necessary changes when it comes to mask wearing and social distancing when the players are on the sideline?
Yeah, we were certainly better at it on Saturday than we are in practice. There's so many ebbs and flows in practice that, you know, you get to the point that guys are constantly moving. They're going to be around each other. You know, we're going to remind them throughout practice, hey, you got to maintain your social distancing. From the very first day that we put helmets on Zion, we asked our players to wear those helmets and wear their masks underneath their helmets. And, you know, we were one of a few teams that I think were going at it that way. I just had a great deal of conviction in it. I felt like if our guys could run in them, train in them, condition in them, then we could certainly wear them underneath our helmets. And, you know, whether that's the right decision to make or not, you know, time will tell. But, you know, for us, we want to do everything we can to protect our players, protect the stakeholders involved in our program, and in addition to that, do everything we can to have a football season. Because, you know, I just think for us and our kids, I think football is essential. You know, I think we need to do everything we can to give our guys an opportunity to play.
Coach, with the change in school, obviously, you know, Coach Kirshner before you would always talk about any interruption in the normal schedule. Have you had a normal schedule yet this year?
You know, I felt like we started to get into a routine in July. You know, we brought our guys in the morning, which you know was really two parts. It was one, we wanted to make sure we got our guys out of bed in the morning and got them in a school routine, because at that point, you know, we were going back to school and we were going to be in, you know, just, you know, we had whatever version of the schedule that we had gotten from the administration. And, you know, God love them, because, you know, they kept putting the schedule out and things would change and they'd give us another one. And
they were so prepared.
They absolutely were. You know, I still, to you know, it's easy to brag about our administration and the work that just not only the Ed Center has done, but our building level administration too, to do everything they can to keep our staff and students safe. And, you know, when you look at our schedule right now, I really feel like our guys have handled it as well as we could expect. You know, we had two first days of school, and coaches kind of dread that first day of school practice because guys are this or guys are that. Our guys last Wednesday, the half of them that were in school, you know, I tried to pay attention to it, didn't really notice much. Monday, the other half of guys had their first day of school, go out and felt like we had one of our best Monday practices since I've been here. And so, you know, for us, I think the one thing we've challenged our guys since we got back together July 6th on is, you know, this is just adversity, right? So you're going to see adversity from the time that where you're at right now to the time that you leave this earth. And how you respond to adversity, how you handle adversity, how you answer adversity is going to drive a lot of the successes that you have in life. And so we've tried to drive that home with our kids. And that for us is just not cliche. That's something we talk to them about all the time. Something bad happens in practice, you know, we got to talk to them about answering the bell and just going and winning what's next. And so our guys, you know, to their credit, you know, and I keep talking about our guys, but we all know that there's parents behind those guys that are running the shuttle, that are taking not only their kid but somebody else's kid as well. And so, you know, I really feel like our players and the stakeholders in our program have done an outstanding job helping us navigate these different waters.
Moving into just a straight up on the field football question, your team is only returning three remaining starters full time from last year's team offensively. How confident are you in your offense going into week one?
Well, you know, we certainly feel good about it. It's easy to say we only have three returning starters, you know, on paper, but you start to look up and down the offensive line, and Keelan Davis started 9 games for us. Marcus Howard started 9 games for us. Jorian Mangum started the first 2 games of the year before he got an ankle injury. We had Romel Williams start some games for us offensively. David Laren Gonzalez started some games for us offensively. So, you know, there's 5 guys right there that have at least started contests on the offensive line that are back for us that we certainly feel good about. You know, I think for us, when you look on the perimeter and you have Donnell Mason, who lettered for us a year ago, battled a rib injury, and so probably cut some of his playing time. Dylan Moore, you know, played for us offensively. Dalen Carnell played for us offensively. So, you know, we feel good about where our skill positions are at, especially on the perimeter at the wide receiver spot. Feel good about the progress our offensive line has made here in the last couple of weeks. You know, we had to survive and navigate the scrimmage a little bit with some depth concerns, but felt like we did that. Learned some things about some guys in that scrimmage that are going to pay off for us moving forward. You know, I think for us, our offense is going to go as well as the middle of our offense goes. And that, you know, that I think that's going to be the center position for us. It's going to be the quarterback position for us. It's going to be the tailback position. You know, we lost a player that was grossly underrated in his ability to make plays and his understanding of the offense and just the command that he had for his teammates and Trent Gibson. You know, and you look at the productivity that Olajuwon Hassell had a year ago, and you know, we're certainly going to miss that. You know, Olajuwon could take a bad football play, a 2-yard loss, and go make it an 8-yard gain. And you know, we just look up and it's 2nd and 2. Well, there was a lot that went into getting to 2nd and 2, and so you know, we're going to miss some of that for sure. And so you know, we have to rely on Brandon Fuentes, Devin Wiley in the backfield, and we certainly have to rely on Juwan, you know, at the quarterback position right now, to produce for us.
Coach, we're about 5 minutes away from talking about Brownsburg, so we'll leave them at number 3 in the poll. But if you look at the poll that came out today, and you know, polls are what they are at this point because it's nobody's played a game yet, but number 1 Center Grove, number 2 Carmel, mentioned Brownsburg at 3, Avon's 4, you're number 5, Warren Central 6. Depending on the poll, I think the coaches poll, North Central is either 9, and in the AP poll they're 10. I believe Lawrence North received votes. They would be 12th if you ranked them out in the AP poll. I believe they'd be 11th in the coaches' poll. Obviously, you've got LC on your schedule. You also have, who am I leaving out? Pike on your schedule. And I think I got them all because that is Murderer's Row again this year. So talk a little bit about that schedule, and you know, it kind of is how it's put together. You can't really, I mean, it is the MIC conference plus 2 top 5 teams in the state. I mean, that nobody has a schedule like this.
No, but you know, I think when you're the head football coach of Ben Davis High School, the expectation is you're going to go out and have success year in and year out. 2018, obviously, we struggled to hit that benchmark and to hit the standard that exists in our program. Last year, we got off to a rough start, started 1-3. You know, same kind of situation. You know, we weren't hitting the standard that truly built this program. And so, you know, I think when you look at our schedule, you can look at it one of two ways. You could say, well, geez, Coach, you don't have a layup in there. And I've never believed in them, to be honest with you. You know, you talk to basketball coaches, and we used to talk to Mark James all the time, and he's a Hall of Fame basketball coach, and he said, I always had to have 6 games that I knew we were going to win. You know, those don't exist on our schedule. You know, they're not going to exist in the mid-conference games for sure, and they're not going to exist in our non-conference games. It's especially when we're playing the best competition that we can in the non-conference. And, you know, we've had Avon on the schedule for a long time in the regular season, going back to probably 2009, maybe 9, 10, somewhere in there. So, you know, they've been on the regular season schedule for a while now. You know, picking up Brownsburg in week one, it's the right thing to do for both programs. It's certainly the right thing to do for the athletic departments in a non-pandemic year. You're going to be afforded the opportunity to have a huge gate for your football team to play in front of a huge crowd, and for your football team to play in front of a team right from the very beginning. It reminds me a lot when I was here before 2009, 2010, we used to open with Cathedral.
Right.
You know, we opened at Lucas Oil one time, and then we opened here. And, you know, the crowd that we had here that night was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, it was an unbelievable crowd. And there's just so much to gain from those experiences. And if you can put them in the beginning of the year, you're going to learn a lot about your football team. And we went to Brownsburg a year ago, played in what I think is one of the best stadiums in Central Indiana. You know, there's no track there. I mean, it's just they do a phenomenal job supporting their football program there. And we learned a lot about our football team. Now, we didn't get enough of it fixed, you know, between week one and week two. But we still learned a lot about our football team. And it was a learning experience, you know, a year ago. And so, you know, for us, we got to show up every day and try and outwork people, try and play harder, longer, you know. And for us, you know, we're not going to – if you're a Ben Davis High School, you're going to go play the best competition you can play. And that should be the expectation. And, you know, we're certainly in a position to do that with Brownsburg and Avon as our two non-conference games.
All right.
And so now we will head to a break. And after that, we will talk about playing Brownsburg more specifically. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football on WBDG.
It's time for the Giant Rewind. A look back at last week's game through the calls of WBDG's announcers.
Empty set now for Gibson to start this one from midfield. Looking for someone to go with it now. And he throws it downfield. He has Jalen Nolan open at the 25. Jalen Nolan inside the 10. Nolan is gone. And the Giants strike first with a 50-yard touchdown and take the one touchdown lead here immediately in this one.
You can't start any better than that. One play, one touchdown drive.
Right, running back's in there, and it's going to be a fake handoff. He's going to look to throw down here. He's going deep towards the end zone, and it is caught in the end zone for a touchdown. Center Grove comes right back right there with the pass to Connor Delt for the touchdown, 18 yards.
Huge play right there by Gibson, having nowhere to go down the field. He took it himself, and it pays off well to get the first down.
But there is a flag back. Now there's a flag in the end zone, and that will be a safety likely on BD. As I'm assuming it's a holding here, we'll get the call right now.
Holding in the end zone.
So it's a safety, 10-7 lead now for Center Grove after the holding committed in the end zone. And Taven Jackson will take a kneel, and that will end this first half. 10-7 lead, one half for Center Grove. First and goal, and it's a sweep out to the left side to Delp. Delp has the corner, and Delp will score the 10-yard touchdown to put Center Grove ahead. Two possessions here in this one. 37-yard field goal. It would be Zach Fox's long on the year, but he is more than capable of making this one, especially with no wind. He gets the snap. It's a good one. The hold is good as well, and the kick is long enough. And it is good just inside the right upright. So the Giants make it a one-possession game now at 17-10.
Got a big touchdown.
17-10 is the Center Grove. One left to play. Empty set now for Gibson, but trips to the near side. Now Hassel's in motion, and he'll hand it off to Hassel in motion. Hassel has some room to run. Hassel is going to jump the ball. The ball's on the ground, and Center Grove has it. And it is recovered by Center Grove there. At the 26-yard line right there, it's Dane Young, and the Trojans have the ball on the line. One Hassel fumble. And it's empty set for Gibson. He's going to step up on the play. He's just going to have to launch it downfield, but he has a man. But Carnell mistimed the jump, and it's incomplete. And Center Grove is going to win this football game.
Carnell super close right there. He was just a hair off the catch of the ball. And now Center Grove celebrating.
Taven Jackson kneels the ball one last time. And the Center Grove Trojans are going back to Lucas Oil for the first time since 2016. And your Giants fall just one touchdown short of going back for the second time in 3 years. 17-10 is the final score here. Back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, I'm your host Zion Brown with John Easter and Ben Davis head football coach Jason Simmons. So we're getting into talking about the Brownsburg game, which is 3 days away, coach. And the biggest strength of this Brownsburg team is probably their offensive line. So how do you plan to control the trenches while also limiting Brownsburg's passing attack?
Well, you know, I think for us, we got to go in and try and control the things that we can control. When you look at them offensively, they have two wide receivers on the perimeter that are extremely explosive. Preston Terrell, obviously, is a Purdue commit. When you look at him athletically, he is, he's probably as good as they come athletically. You know, he can go up and get footballs. He can run by you. He's a big, physical, strong kid. Really good football player. They have Luke Lacy on the outside, on the other side, opposite Preston. So, you know, for us, we're going to have to make sure that we have great eye discipline in the secondary. We're going to have to make sure that we get our reads. I thought we did some things at the linebacker level on Saturday that were encouraging, did some things that we could certainly get better at this week in practice as well. And so for us, it's going to come down just to eye discipline. They ran the ball so well on us a year ago that it set up their play action game. So we got to look to try the run game. They have two big Division I offensive tackles. And so when you play an offense that has five Division I kids, you're going to have to buckle up your chin strap a little bit and play with a great deal of discipline to go in there and compete with them.
Coach, with last year's game, kind of a strange game where you got yourself in a hole early, really fought back into make it a great finish. Unfortunately, Giants just coming up a little bit short towards the end. And I think you mentioned a little bit about this in the first segment, but how important was that game in really setting up some of the things that would come along the rest of the year, some of the successes you had?
You know, I think for us, there's, you know, football is such a great game. And when you combine football with the state that we're in right now, you have to be willing to take a step back and take the emotion out of the evaluation. And for us, there's so many life lessons embedded in this game. And if we're willing just to continue to stay the course with our work ethic, if we're willing to stay the course just on trying to day in and day out, identifying what it is that we need to work on, identifying what those holes are, and being able to define whether that hole is a who issue, it's a what issue, or it's a how issue, you know. And if we can do those three things, if we can ID what it is that we have to go get cleaned up and fixed, you know, we're certainly going to give ourselves a chance to get better day in and day out. And that's what we learned from that game a year ago. You know, we had opportunities in that game just like they did. You know, we had some opportunities that we didn't take advantage of, and they had opportunities that they did. I think when you look at that game, it was really a tale of two halves. You know, they came out and dominated the first half. They got the early interception off of a ball that we overthrew. They hit a play action post to set up their second score. They get a late score before the half with the wide receiver coming out of the end zone to high point that ball. And so, you know, he goes and he wins a 50-50 ball. And so, I mean, there were some opportunities that they certainly took advantage of and made those plays. I felt like at halftime we got some things addressed, got some things fixed as a football team that gave us a chance in the second half. We just didn't finish. And, you know, I think that was one of the life lessons in that game was, you know, how you prepare and how you work is going to set up your level of success. Where your mind's at the start of the game, are you caught up in the emotion of the game, or are you just caught up in trying to win the next play? And then, you know, being in a position where you have an opportunity to finish, you got to take advantage of that opportunity. And so, you know, there's so many life lessons embedded in it for us. And, you know, I think in that game a year ago, those three things really resonate with me as things that we just felt like we could take from that game, apply it to our daily work day in and day out, and then just see where it took us from there.
So, Coach, kind of piggybacking off of your answer, Brownsburg was one of many teams, whether or not you guys lost or won the games, that you guys started off slow season. So what will you have to do to make sure you start off right on Friday night and going into the whole entire season?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of layers to that answer, to be honest with you. I think when you talk about starting fast, so much of that is also dictated by our opponents. And when you look at our schedule right now, we got good football teams up and down that schedule. So no matter how well we go out and execute, they may be a tick better on this play or a tick better on that play. And so for us, I think being able to start fast is, one, having confidence in our plan. Two, making sure that we're prepared as we possibly can be going into the game, and that includes what we do as a coaching staff. That includes how our players prepare, and that also includes how we practice throughout the week. And then you have the choice of where your focus level is, where your energy level is, and where your drive is when that game starts. I think what we're going to see Friday is who's committed to showing up and playing ball anytime, any place, because, with Marion County limitations to 1,000 people, we're going to see a different environment. If it's a non-pandemic year and the weather's 80 degrees like it's supposed to be on Friday, then Giant Stadium's probably going to have 5,000, 6,000, maybe 7,000 people in it. But it's going to be different. It's going to feel different. There's a limited number of people in there on both sides of the stadium, and so stadium's not going to be anywhere near capacity. And so, really, are you motivated by all the exterior stuff, or are you motivated to go be the best version of you that you can be? And that, I think that's going to be the challenge for us. Is just, we have to go be the best version of us, play in and play out. And if we just go execute at a high level and do our job, then we're I'm sure it's going to be similar to a year ago, where both teams are going to have chances along the way.
With everything that is happening, we kind of talked about it in the first segment about how quickly things are changing, how different sets of guidelines come out, and then you're forced to adapt or make the changes, or schools are forced to adapt on the fly, really, right now. How do you keep your football team locked in and focused and try to close out that noise that's all around? Because that noise is all over. It's all over social media. It's all over the media. Those darn media people like us. But it's all over the place. So how do you keep your team locked in? Is it possible to?
If they were sitting here like a year ago when you guys were awesome and allowing us to bring players in a non-pandemic year, but... I think all of our players to a T would tell you we talk to them day in and day out just about today. Like, this is the one day that you're guaranteed, obviously we saw today where Carmel and Plainfield are ending up playing because Plainfield lost their week one opponent on Tuesday. And, that's not easy, but that's realistic. I mean, that's the nature of the beast that we're in right now. And, we have great parents in our program, and they're constantly asking me, Coach, what about this? Coach, what about this? Like, guys, I have a plan in place, but I'm really worried about just getting today. And if we get today and we do everything we're supposed to do in terms of social distancing, in terms of wearing our masks, in terms of protocols and hygiene and doing all those things they tell us we need to do to give ourselves a chance, then we might get tomorrow. But while we're here, let's go take advantage of the here and now, and let's go maximize today. So when we did put our pads on and we were practicing early in August, I mean, we did go ones-on-ones, for a lot of different reasons. One, we felt like we had to separate our roster a little bit, and really operate with three different rosters, because if you get in a situation where a player pops a positive test, which is bound to happen, we didn't want to lose an entire team. We didn't want to lose our whole team. We didn't want to lose 2 weeks. We wanted to do everything we could to give ourselves a chance to play week in and week out. And so we've done a lot of different things like that. And so, but for us, just to get back to answering the question, is we wanted to win today. We want to win today. And I think our guys would tell you that if they were sitting here. And, our focus has to be on getting better day in and day out, because today's the only day that we're guaranteed.
The Giants have an opportunity to get their 500th program win on Friday. What would that mean to you to get that done this week? And is that something that you, the staff, and the team are kind of aware of going in?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure how many guys on our staff know. We have not talked to our players about that in any way, shape, or form, to be honest with you. And, to answer your question about me personally, I had no clue we were close until Mr. Easter brought it up a year ago. You know, knowing that, you know, good Lord willing, at some point we're going to hit that milestone this year. You know, I think it speaks volumes to the blessings that I have being entrusted with this program and being a small part of history personally. And, you know, we're certainly that 500th win is not guaranteed this year in any way, shape, or form, especially when you look up and down our schedule. But for us, you know, to have an opportunity to be a part of the history and the longstanding history of our program would certainly be a valuable experience, if you will.
It's kind of ironic. This was our trivia question this week. Win number 400. I don't know if you saw the trivia question that we put out there.
I did.
If you still haven't answered that, you can still go in and answer it right now. If you're listening on Tuesday, it'll be closed by Friday. But the answer is Brownsburg. Was win number 400 as well.
2007.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It was the Brownsburg Bulldogs, which they're well behind in the poll. Everybody's picking Warren Central. But I think you remember that game, Coach.
I was a part of that game.
That was a wild football game, a game where the Giants got way down, I think 29-7 at one point in that game, something like that.
Yes.
And came all the way back, went to overtime, if I recall.
And, was it 2009, right?
Yeah. It was 2007.
2007. Shoot, yeah. I would have been coaching here then.
You weren't?
I was.
You were, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was coaching here. So
crazy game. I think, I mean, just a wild game.
Yeah, no question. Yep. No question.
So, Zion, anything else?
I guess kind of quickly here, what would you say are some of the two or three most important factors in getting this week one win?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at these two teams on paper and you look at the experience that they have, not just game experience, but just volumes, you know, they got a lot of volume snaps on their football team coming back. And so, you know, I think when you look at keys and you look at things that we're concentrating on, you know, we have to try and win the battle of big plays. And in order to do that, you got to have a great deal of discipline and executing your responsibility, whether it's preventing them or trying to slow them down from getting big plays or it's executing your own. I think you got to win the battle of the turnovers. You know, when you have a football team that doesn't have a ton of experience on Friday nights, the one thing you need them to do is to execute and take care of the football. And so, you know, that's been a point of emphasis for us going into this game so far in the first couple of days of practice, and it will be throughout the week. And then, you know, I think the third thing is you know, who's going to win the trenches. When you look at their offensive and defensive lines, they're a good looking group on both sides of the ball. We have a great deal of confidence in our guys as well. I think it's going to be a great challenge for us early in the year. I think anytime you can play the third ranked team in 6A, that, you know, a team that got a first place vote in the coaches poll, you know, you certainly got your hands full.
All right, thank you, Coach, for joining us, making this happen. Thank you for everybody who stuck through us through the technical difficulties we had. The game will be Friday night at 7 o'clock. I will be on the call with Gavin Miller from Giant Stadium. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.